Well, disgraced Catholic Cardinal George Pell has started his maximum six-year jail term on charges of sexually abusing two 13-year-old choir boys in Melbourne's St Patrick's Cathedral back in the 1990s. But in sentencing George Pell in Victoria's County Court, Chief Judge Peter Kidd made it clear that the wider Catholic Church had not been on trial and was not being punished.
You are to be punished only for the particular wrongdoing you have been convicted of on this indictment of sexually abusing two boys in the 1990s, and only of that wrongdoing. As I directed the jury who convicted you in this trial, you are not to be made a scapegoat for any failings or perceived failings of the Catholic Church.
That's the Justice Kidd sentencing Cardinal George Pell yesterday. Well, despite the judge's caveat, the difficult question for the Catholic Church remains, how can it store a faith and trust in it as an institution? Francis Sullivan is the former CEO of the Catholic Church's Truth, Justice and Healing Council. Francis Sullivan, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks very much, Fran.
So Justice Kidd made it clear there that the Catholic Church was not on trial and neither was George Pell being treated as a scapegoat for the Catholic Church. But the Church must be impacted by this judgment, mustn't it?
Oh, of course. I mean, of course George Pell is not the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is far bigger than George Pell. But what we've had over the last 6 years is the shameful and confronting history of clerical sex abuse. And of course, normal Catholics have been appalled. And with the conviction of Cardinal Pell, of course, it just brings it all back into real stark reality. All of us in the Church feel this history, but it's now over to us, particularly lay people, to step up.
Can I ask you, Francis, as a, let's call you, to use your words, a normal Catholic, how you felt personally when you first heard the verdict and now the sentence against George Pell? I mean, you have been out there, the public face really, for the Church for some years now, defending the Church. Did you feel duped?
Well, Fran, the first thing, I was asked to liaise with the Royal Commission on behalf of the bishops and religious leaders to make sure the engagement was open and honest. I wasn't there to defend the Catholic Church, but I am a member of the Catholic Church. And I have felt the pain of it all. When the conviction happened, I have to say I was absolutely shocked. I know George Pell, you know, a little bit. And, you know, I didn't think it was in his character. And you know, I felt very sad. Did I feel duped? I've taken everybody at their word. The bishops told me from the word go that they wanted to engage openly and honestly and fully with the Royal Commission. I believe that. I've saw many cases throughout the Royal Commission where people were less than openly honest. And that, you know, I suppose it upset me, but at the same time I get the fact that, you know, people aren't perfect.
What about the institution itself, though? Was the Church open and honest? I mean, where are the signs that, in terms of transparency, in terms of the cover-ups, in terms of the abuse of power, that the Church has learnt the lessons and the Church is changing?
Well, the first thing about open and honesty is that at least the Australian Catholic Church, more than any other Catholic Church in the world, opened its books so that the extent and the scope of the abuse was revealed through the Royal Commission at a major hearing.
In Australia, but not at a global level, not at the Vatican. I mean, that's one of the big complaints,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you know, look, absolutely. I think there are many parts of the Catholic Church that are either have big blind spots, they're taking this as an ideological war against them. They sometimes even argue it's a big sort of fight by secular forces and the media to try and get at the Church, to try and weaken it, to try and enable it to lose influence in society. You'll get all that. But the truth of the matter is that priests sexually abused young children and then those in authority actively covered that up. And they did it systematically. The abuse in the Catholic Church in Australia is at an industrial level. It is the largest organisation that the Royal Commission looked at where child sexual abuse had occurred and had been systematically covered up. You just cannot walk away from those realities.
And so the impact of that, and we've seen the impact, I think, of that, not just of this, but, you know, in recent years and decades, attendance to Mass has really decreased. I think only 10% of people who declare themselves Catholics go to church. Meanwhile, as you say, priests abuse children. The Catholic Church covered it up on industrial scale, and yet the trappings of the power and the sort of the great and glory of the church remains, the purple robes, the rings, the wealth. You know, why would people trust that the church has learnt the lesson, acknowledged its failure of moral guidance, if it maintains all those trappings of power?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, Fran, is that the bishops and religious leaders in Australia have got to stop talking and start doing. And since the Royal Commission, they appear to have done very little. The first thing that they must always demonstrate is that when they make decisions with regard to children, that children are the number one priority. And it's hard to see since the Royal Commission what decisions they've taken that demonstrate that. Secondly, what we've seen for so long now is that the male-dominated clerical class that controls the power and the structures and the decision-making in the church has got to change, because they were the problem, not the solution. And unless we get lay people in governance roles, and particularly women, who can bring to the conversation and the decision-making a mindset that is far different than the male defensive mindset that caused the church to actually perpetrate this scandal, unless we can do that, the Australian Catholic Church will continue to decline. It will decline in relevancy, but it'll also decline in the fact of being a place where ordinary Catholics can find a font so that what the faith asks, which is that we learn to let go and choose life every day. They call that death and resurrection. That we learn to move towards truth, goodness and beauty, like other religions and other people want to do. That we learn to support each other in the struggles of our daily lives, as lived here in a postmodern world, and we're not harking back to some medieval time or some romantic concept that Christendom is the place to be. Until we get that mentality going in the Australian Catholic Church, we are doomed to continue to become smaller, irrelevant, and disregarded.
And Francis, we're almost at the news, so I've only got 30 seconds, but do you think that goes the physical trappings too, of the wealth and the glory?
We've got to be a humbler, poorer church. That's what Pope Francis said, and I'm on his wagon.
Francis Sullivan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Francis Sullivan is a former CEO of the Catholic Truth, Justice and Healing Council. He's joining us there after the verdict, the sentencing of Cardinal George Pell. George Pell is now sentenced to 6 years in prison, a maximum of 6 years in prison, non-parole period of 3.5 years, I think it is.